Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thank you, Eric. Welcome back to Hour 4, the fourth and final hour of this Wednesday edition of the Cook and Joe Show. Starkey off today. He's actually off tomorrow as well. He'll be back with me Friday morning when we meet up at Manor Valley Golf Course for the Fan Open. One guy who isn't off and is hardly ever off this time of year is Pirates broadcaster Bob Walk. He joins me now, and Bob is brought to you by Xfinity, America's best internet service provider, according to speedtest.net. Bob, I got a lot of ground to cover with you from last night. How are you today, my friend? Hello. I think, did we lose Bob? I think we did, Joe. We're going to try to get him back. He was there. I call him up. He's not. We'll talk to him and get a lot of stuff here to ask him. When we finally do get him. Interesting game last night. I thought it was a very bad loss for the Pirates, but it was an interesting game and a lot of stuff that can be debated, talked about. You know, not just a very good game by the Pirates. Couldn't get the big hit, certainly couldn't make plays when they needed to make plays. Mitch Keller suffered because of that. One of them was his own bad play, throwing away the bunt. And then the Jung Ho Gung error let two runs in. That was bad as well. So, and I want to hear what Bob thought about Keller. Let's try it one more time. Bob, you never take a day off. I was giving you, pumping you up, and then all of a sudden you're gone. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Just kind of sitting out in the backyard and waiting to go to the ballpark.
Yeah, it's not raining at the moment, isn't it? But wait 5 minutes.
Yeah, I just looked at the weather effect while I was waiting for you to call, and a little pop-up all around. I guess it's that time of year.
Yeah, well, it's been that time of year seemingly for 2 months. You know, it hasn't been much of a spring. We're not even to summer yet, and it hasn't even felt like we've had spring. Bob, a lot going on last night. Let's start with the big play that people were talking about, the double play ball that wasn't on the ball, hit the Frazier. I thought it was a real tough play, but I thought he had to try the 4-6-3 route. I don't think it would have worked. What was your take as you watched that?
He's got to shovel the ball to shortstop. That's the only possible thing to do.
I don't think he'd have got him, though, but do you?
Does it matter?
No, well, you got to try it.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he would have got him. Looking at the replay, you know, after he ran at him a while and then threw the ball to first base, the runner still was barely even in the shot on TV. So I think they had a good shot at going the traditional route. But, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, either way is going to be an iffy double play. But if you get the double play the way they tried, it doesn't matter. The run scores. So if you go the other way and get the double play, then inning's over, no run scores. So you got to try it the other way. That was just a mental mistake.
Frazier at second. What have you thought of him? He's okay. I don't think he's great by any stretch. And I wonder. Jack Sorensic on the postgame show speculated that he might not have had that play before at second base.
Maybe he hadn't. But I mean, I've seen it many, many times over the years, and I've seen it messed up, just like it was messed up last night. I guess when it does happen to you, it burns into your mind. Oh, wait, I can't do that. I think the last I can remember, I don't even remember the players involved, but it was in Philadelphia, and there was a ground ball to first base. I think the bases were loaded. Whoever was our first baseman, instead of coming straight home with the ball, I think it was like a tying or winning run, as he caught the ball, he stepped right on the bag, and then the throw was just a little tiny bit high, and by the time the catcher got the tag down, runner was in there safe. If it would have been a forced play, obviously, you would have got the out. So it's just something I guess you've got to have in your mind that, hey, that's a tying run or winning run, whatever, over to third base. I can't be doing anything that's going to take a force off because that run isn't going to score, even if we get a double play.
Bob, I thought the defense obviously bad last night. Now, Diaz throws one into center field in the first, and then he comes back and throws out two guys trying to steal. I thought that was impressive. But Keller on that bunt and then Gung on that ball. You know, two errors in one inning, two unearned runs. Even bad teams like Detroit beat you when you do that.
Yeah, you would like to think, Miami, Detroit, a couple of teams that are really struggling on offense this year, not scoring very many runs at all, that would be a recipe to get our pitching going good. But when you don't play defense, well, then, that kind of puts you behind a hole. And it doesn't matter, who you're playing. It's still major league hitters up there. And if you make some mistakes, whether it's on defense or if you throw some bad pitches down the middle, you're going to pay the price. And I think we have seen that now. And, you got to play hard and play good against everybody. We didn't play very well last night. That's why we lost.
What did you think of Keller? Obviously a step in the right direction, but still five innings and 93 pitches. A couple of those guys from Detroit fouled off a whole bunch of pitches in long at-bats. I thought that elevated his pitch count.
Yeah, he did have an awful lot of foul balls. I thought that there was some inconsistency still in his control. There were times where I thought, okay, well, I'm watching, where the glove is and where he's throwing the ball. If he's missing a little bit, outside, and they're trying to throw an outside pitch. I mean, I've got no problem with that. But if you're missing you're trying to throw the ball, at least that's where the target is, say on one side of the plate, you miss on the other, then that's kind of a red flag to me that, there's something going on. If you're bouncing a ball in front of home plate and it's not an 0-2 or a 1-2 pitch, you didn't mean to do that either. So I think that he was better, but first two games, the bar was set pretty low. I mean, he had to get better. I was hoping being at home and at this third time out there and being against a team that, as I said, it's still a major league team, but they're not scoring a lot of runs. I was hoping that he would have an easier game. And the error he himself made, throwing a ball down there, put himself in a bad situation, it kind of makes his outing a little tough to judge. But it would have been nice to have him go out there in six innings and have it nice and clean and good control, but it didn't happen. So I really, again, I don't think I have a good read on him right now. I know he has a great arm. The tools are there, and I know what he's done in the minor leagues. So, yeah, he's definitely part of our future, but is he a guy that you can count on right this second? I don't know. I think that's yet to be seen.
Is he a guy in your future for Sunday? That would be his next start. I don't know what Jordan Lyles' status is, if he can come back and be ready to go Sunday. Do you think you would go with Keller one more time?
I think if Lyles is ready, they would probably go with him. That would be my guess. They took a long time to say Keller was pitching yesterday. We were down in Miami. Who's gonna pitch when we get home? And they didn't make that announcement until Sunday that Keller was going to pitch. So apparently there was a hesitation on their part to put him out there one more time. I don't know who they were going to pitch instead, but all I can go by is that they didn't announce it until very late. And now there's a to be determined for this Sunday. Again, nobody's announced anything. So I would say that there's at least a decent chance that it won't be Keller and that it could be Lyles.
Bob, they couldn't get the big hit last night, obviously, in the last three innings. I think they stranded eight guys, but you can't ask for more at the plate. Marte comes up second and third, two outs in the seventh and strikes out. Dickerson pinch hits in the eighth, bases loaded, grounds out, and then Bell hits into a double play with two on in the ninth off a pretty good closer in Shane Green. And I'll go back even further to the fifth inning when, it's 4-2. Gung makes it 4-2 with a triple. Then Frazier pops out. As soon as strikes out, Newman walks, Reynolds grounded out. Man, they just couldn't get a big hit last night.
Yeah, after the triple, runner at third, nobody out, got to get that run home. The offense has been doing great this year, and it's hard for me to, point a game and say, wow, look, they didn't do the job tonight. But there is one little fly in the ointment when it comes to the offense, and Greg Brown pointed it out in last night's game, that we haven't done a very good job of scoring runners from third with less than two outs. And we're in the bottom third in the league in that category. And that's something that we could get better at, and it would have paid some dividends in last night's game. might have got us a W if we could have got Gung home, obviously.
All right, interesting pitching matchup tonight. Two guys that haven't been on the mound in like forever. Trevor Williams goes. He hasn't pitched since May 16th. Jordan Zimmermann for Detroit hasn't pitched since April 25th. Bob, I know there have been periods of time in your career where you had to wait a long time for whatever reason to pitch. How hard is it to come back after not being in a major league game that long? And what do you expect from those two guys?
Well, you know, I've had it happen a couple of times with different results, so it's kind of a hard to predict. The one thing that always is true, though, is you feel good. You feel strong out there. And, you know, when things don't go your way, you're kind of surprised. You're left scratching your head, like, what's going on? I feel great. You know, I got a decent fastball. But what usually it is, if you look back on it, you think, well, you know, I really didn't throw enough strikes. I didn't throw the ball where I wanted to enough, and especially with off-speed pitches. And getting the feel of that off-speed pitch, actually when you're out there and you have some adrenaline going, you know, that I think is the hard thing to do. Because if you overthrow a slider, overthrow the curveball, you know, you're going to end up missing a long way with that. The curveball, instead of being ankle high, is going to be bouncing in front of the plate because, you know, you're really trying to bust it off hard. So that's, I think, the thing that you have to be wary of is immediately with the adrenaline in the game condition, find the command of your touch pitches. That's the hard part. You're always going to be feeling good. You're always going to be
strong.
You wouldn't be out there anyway.
Bob, you know, one thing that surprises me is their record at home this year, 13 and 19. Man, that's awful. They're better on the road. Now, they don't have a winning record on the road, 19 and 21, but it's hard for me to understand 13 and 19 at home.
Yeah, I've looked at that also. And the only thing I can come up with, and I have no idea if this has anything to do with it or not, is that, you know, our ballpark nowadays is kind of a pitcher's ballpark, you know, a little bit more than a lot of the other places we go and we play at. And our team hasn't pitched well. We've become a more of a hitting team to where we got to outslug some guys. So it's almost like the opposite of what we've been in the last few years. It's like now we play better in a hitter's ballpark than we do you know, when we're playing in our own ballpark, where the pitching kind of gets a break. So the pitcher's ballpark is kind of playing into the visitor's hands maybe a little bit more than it is ours. You know, hopefully those numbers will change a little bit when we get this pitching situation straightened out. Hopefully, you know, starting with Trevor coming back. I got my fingers crossed because that's what needs to be done. I mean, until we start pitching better, you know, the win-loss record, I don't see getting a whole lot better. It's hard to go out there and you know, outscore somebody, you know, 8-6 every single night. We got to start, you know, doing the job, pitching on a consistent basis, and take advantage of this wonderful offense that we've been lucky enough to have this year. I mean, it just seems like almost whatever lineup you put out there, you're going to get hits that night. You're going to score some runs. So we got to pitch better. Simple as that.
Bob, speaking of that, you're Chris Archer. I had Jim Leland on yesterday, and I always love Jim's opinions and his expertise. And I asked him about Archer, and he goes, his best guess is, he said, I had him in the World Baseball Classic, and he goes, his stuff is plenty good enough, he said, but sometimes I think pitchers fall in love too much with their stuff. Is that possible that, you know, he says, I think sometimes he thinks he can just get away with throwing it anywhere because his stuff is so good, and that doesn't work on the major league level.
Yeah, that's a possibility, but, you know, I don't, you know, I have no idea exactly, you know, why, you know, he is struggling the way he is. I agree with Jim. His stuff is plenty good enough, you know, fantastic slider. When he positions that slider, you know, out of the strike zone or on that, you know, first base side of the plate, it's great. He even can throw it upstairs. He throws letter high sliders and get swings at it, but there are times in a ball game where it seems like the command just leaves him, and you start seeing a lot of balls down the plate, and he does get away with balls down the plate, down the middle of the strike zone, because he has quality stuff. But you're not going to, at this level, as you just said, get away with them all the time, and he doesn't, and he has that inning where, you know, it's kind of like a blow-up inning, like a golfer out there that all of a sudden throws up a snowman. Well, that's what he has been doing almost, you know, most of his starts. He goes out there like this last one, pitched three great innings, and then has the blow-up inning and came within, you know, a couple feet of giving up eight runs. That was almost a grand slam to final out in that fourth inning. So it's just like, where was the guy in the first three innings? How did that happen? I have no explanation for it. I don't know if it's something in his head that's happening to him out there. I'm sure the confidence level, even though, you know, everybody's going to say the right things when you're asked, are you? But there could be a little bit of a lack of confidence starting to creep in right now because, you know, I mean, has he ever had an ERA at this time of year up close to six? I wouldn't think so, especially not with his stuff, but that's what it is right now. And even with all the success he's had in the big leagues, you know, it's got to start, you know, hanging over him a little bit. Hey, I got to get this going. I got to start pitching like I know I can because, I mean, we're almost through June now, and, you know, he's still having a hard time getting it going.
Two quick baseball at large questions, Bob. Did you see Scherzer bunting in batting practice breaking his nose yesterday?
I did saw that. Reminded me of A.J. in spring
training. Yeah. Did that ever happen to you?
No, I've never bunted a ball into my face. That never happened. I don't understand that. And once the season started, I never took BP anyway. I never had a chance to get hurt. I figured that the extra swings that I was taking from the regular hitters before the game, they could be using that to much better.
So should there be
a use than me?
Then just go to a DH. Then if you're telling me you're not going to work on hitting.
I didn't need to work on hitting.
Yeah, you could just hit it, right?
I was a natural, yeah. I didn't need to go out there and do that.
Last thing, something I can't ever remember this happening. I've been around a long time, so is you. How about this little kissing contest between the umpires in Major League Baseball? Did you see that about this Manny Machado suspension? The umps are screaming, you can't put up with workplace violence. I think that's way overblown. And Major League Baseball firing back saying, inappropriate for you guys to comment on that. I can't remember a hissing contest like that.
Well, and maybe in the old days when before they broke the umpires union, you used to have things like this, and you know that was back when they were, you know, was a league umpires and they were going against the league, and the league would usually back down. The umpires were kind of like the Supreme Court. They when they said that that's the way it went, but it's not like that anymore. Ever since they broke the union. Remember, I don't know how long ago that was, quite a long time ago, and everything has become MLB now instead of the leagues. So I'm kind of surprised that, you know, the umpires would publicly make a stink like this because it just, I don't know, it just doesn't happen anymore. So I'm curious to see, you know, how things go. But, yeah, it's kind of like dirty laundry out in the public. And I know MLB does not like that.
There's no doubt. Bob, look forward to seeing you at the park in a few hours. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. See you tonight.
All right, I'll be down there soon.
All right, Bob Walker, the Pirates broadcast crew. You heard him talk about a lot of different things there. The play, he thought absolutely Frazier made a mental mistake by not going to second first on the double play. Thinks he might have even had to double play. I'm not sure. I watch it a bunch of times. I don't know that he would have got it, but Bob's point is you got to try. Talked about Archer a little bit, talked about Keller a little bit, talked about what to expect tonight from two pitchers that have been a long time between outings. Your reaction to all that, 412-928-9370. That's also the Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder and Associates remind you to text responsibly. You'll be first up after Eric Hagman's update here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.